introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about a two-state solution for Israel. That being, should we have a two-state solution? Should that be pushed by America or any other nation? Or where Israel divides itself and allows the enemy, i.e. the so-called Palestinians, I call them the Islamic jihadists, to allow them to retain residence, if you please, or operation inside the boundaries of the land called Israel. We're also going to be talking about the Russiagate collusion, that finally the truth is coming out after about 10 years. We're discovering that the real truth is that it was all fabricated by the DNC and Hillary Clinton and others that were involved, including Barack Hussein Obama. So the question is also on the top of the list of everyone's mind today, should these people that were orchestrated that, carried it out, persecuted and prosecuted Donald J. Trump for 10 years now, should they be prosecuted? Should they be put in jail? Should they be fined? Should they be charged with treason? I say so. I believe it is the, as one of our callers just said, I believe it was Dan that said we need to call it the MAGA treason, and we talk about what is happening in relationship, or MAGA justice, I believe he said. That is the justice system. I believe it ought to work. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes after we talked further about the two-state solution for the nation of Israel. Will that work? Nations around the globe are saying that. United Nations saying that. European Union saying that. Even our neighbors on the north, Canada, has just declared that Israel needs to be divided into a two-state solution. Before the news, we had Jim that had called, and Jim's hanging on to continue his conversation. Then I'm going to ask Representative Mike Hill to have dialogue and discussion with Jim's conclusion and thoughts. Jim, go ahead with your comments.
Yes, sir. Where I was at is after the conclusion of the Six-Day War, factions within the Jordanian government, one of those individuals being a man named Yasser Arafat, tried to overthrow King Hussein of Jordan there. Now, these are Jordanians, and you can look this up. It was in September of 1970, and all of those individuals that were involved in that coup to overthrow King Hussein, because of their dissatisfaction, they thought that they should continue the war against Israel. It was the hardcore amongst the Jordanians. A lot of your listeners should be old enough. Well, I'm not going to say should be. I'm old enough to remember the 1970s and the refugee camps that they set up in the Gazan territory, because King Hussein had closed the Jordanian borders and said they will not be allowed to come back to Jordan. And there was an organization in the 1970s that was heavily raising money for these refugees, and that's what they were called. They were called refugees, and it was a UNICEF. And then if you can also remember, as we progressed through the 1970s there, that Jimmy Carter then became involved with Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, and the refugee solution, and came up with the Camp David Accords, which officially was a peace accord between Egypt and Israel, and the Jordanian issue of the refugees was pushed to the side. So these individuals, they're Jordanians, plain and simple.
Well, they're Jordanians, and I'll say this, then ask Congressman Hill to jump in. They're Jordanians. I simply still call them the Arabs, the Islamic jihadists. That doesn't change the ethnicity whatsoever with whatever title you want to give them. And historically, from the about 4,000 years now, that ethnic group has been the fierce enemy of the Jewish people, especially the nation of Israel. Congressman Hill, what say you?
Jim is exactly right. And Jim, thank you for that very accurate historical assessment of what's going on. You corrected me, and I thank you for that. I was thinking they had become refugees after World War II, but it was more recent than that. And you were right on. It was is more recent in the 70s. I was just a young teenager then and wasn't paying too much attention to world events that were going on, but you are absolutely right. They are Jordanian refugees who, by the way, were led by Yasser Arafat, called himself the Palestinian Liberation Authority, and they did nothing but wreak havoc, spread terrorism the entire time, as they do now, against the nation Israel and anyone else who disagrees with them. No, we cannot, Israel cannot coexist with them. As you say, Dr. Youngblood, they are Islamic jihadists, they are terrorists, and they should, as President Trump tried to do, he wanted to move them to Libya, about a million of them, make that their homeland. Then they are far enough away from Israel to continue their damaging assaults.
Yes, absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your input and your call today. We're looking forward to what God is going to do as we keep obeying His word. And as I say to everybody, we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for that input today. Congressman Hill, we talked about it, and you just touched on it a moment ago, and it is the danger of this enemy that is within if this is allowed by the nation of Israel. And here's some proof evidence of that. From Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ, says on Sunday, the Congo was rocked again by a church massacre, killing 40 Christians at the hands of the ISIS-affiliated terrorists. These are the Islamic jihadists, I'm calling it. Families were reportedly participating in a round-the-clock prayer vigil at church when the Islamic terrorists entered into the building at 1 a.m. They proceeded to stab and shoot dozens and dozens of victims, including many children in and around the church. Christians in Congo are fatigued by violence. The pastor pleaded, "My home is becoming an ocean of tears. Every day, innocent people are being killed." And then another article that touches on something very, very similar, and it's from Jay Sekulow also. 200 Christians were massacred by 40 gunmen after they stoned a quiet Christian refuge village in Nigeria, shouting, "Allah Akbar." Those on the ground called this late evening attack the bloodiest massacre on record. The slaughter was mostly women and children, displaced Christian families who tragically thought they had found refuge in this village from the very Islamic radicals who arrived to terrorize them. Congressman Hill, our media, the Marxist media in America, is not covering, they're totally silent, not covering anything about the terrorization and the murder, the slaughter by the Islamics in the Congo and other parts of Africa. They're not touching on the fact that Islam has never been a peaceful religion. That's a lie from the pits of hell for anybody, any religion, any denomination to say that Islam is a peaceful religion. It has never been a peaceful religion. And yet we're to believe, supposedly, by those in France, the United Nations, and the European Union, that Israel is to open the door to allow Islamic terrorists to have their domicile there. Let me couch a question, Congressman Hill. I'd love to hear your narrative on that. What if Russia were to say, or what if the UN were to say, or what if other major powers to be were to say, okay, let's take the state of Idaho and we want to make it an Islamic jihadist nation, or let's take the state of Idaho and we want to make it controlled by either China or Russia. How should America respond? And I use that as the analogy of what other nations are trying to say that Israel should do. Should other nations have the power to impose on Israel a divestiture of its land that God owns and gave them the covenant privilege of domiciling there?
Well, of course not, Dr. Youngblood. They should not adhere to calls from any nation. This is Israel. Should not adhere to calls from any nation, including the United States, who says that you must split your land and have these terrorists right next door to you. People have seemed to have forgotten the most recent October 7th attack on Israel by these savage barbarians, and that is what they would continue to do as long as they are existing right next to Israel. So, no, we cannot have that, Dr. Young. And you say, no, what if Canada or some other nation said, we're going to recognize, as you say, one of our states as being a haven for Islamic terrorists? We almost have it already, Dr. Youngblood, in Dearborn,
Michigan. Talk about
that.
You're right. Talk about that a minute.
We have enclaves of where Barack Hussein Obama brought into this nation thousands and thousands of Muslims and settled them in various communities. Dearborn, Michigan, Milwaukee, Madison, Wisconsin, and other places where he imported, brought in these people illegally, and they are setting up their own little places of worship, their own little towns and cities, and they're trying to set up Sharia law in those places. We should not tolerate that all here in America. People try to use our Constitution and saying that we have freedom of religion. That's correct, but we're not. Freedom of religion does not mean that we have to accept all types of religions, especially those who worship the demon god of the crescent moon.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Congressman Hill, I just read a major article, and time won't allow us to go through the details, but the essence of it, in the state of Texas, it has more mosques than any other state, 330 mosques and 450,000 Islamic jihadists. And recently, the governor of Texas had to step in and veto or cancel any potentiality because the Islamic jihadists in Texas had bought up several hundred thousand acres of land, and they were going to set up a full Islamic state and Islamic nation within Texas with its own governing body, with its own housing authority, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when the governor finally realized the details of that, he vetoed that, canceled that, et cetera, et cetera. There's a battle now in court, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, where the Islamic jihadists are fighting to have their right to build an Islamic city in the state of Texas. We have that in Dearborn, Michigan today. And Congressman Hill, I'd like to hear your thoughts for our listeners to understand. The Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist that won 52.6% of the primary for the mayor of New York, and some are saying that he stands a better than equal opportunity and chance in 3 months to be the governor or the mayor of the city of New York. What will happen to New York if that takes place? And should we believe that he's not going to do as he said he would do in the beginning?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, a couple of things. First of all, as you say, it was happening in Texas, and now it's going to go to court. I guarantee you, Democrats are going to support it. If you have a Democrat leftist judge, he or she is going to support what they want to do in Texas. Just like we're seeing in New York, Those are Democrats who are supporting this socialist, Marxist, communist candidate who they have. And what I say to that, Dr. Youngblood, is you go right ahead. You go right ahead and elect him and see what happens. It won't work. Communism does not work. It has never worked. Anywhere has tried, and you might think you're smart enough to make it work. It cannot work because it goes against human behavior. It goes against God's own nature of freedom, of liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can't have liberty and communism together. It doesn't work. So you go ahead and elect this communist in New York and watch how that city is going to crater. Watch how it's going to fail. Just watch, like you'll see in Los Angeles and various other places where Democrats and communists are in charge. It's an utter disaster. And that is what will happen to New York City. And they'll finally have to come to their senses and turn things around.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you for being with us. Hang in for a few moments. I've got Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment. We lost Jose. All right, if Jose's still listening, call back. We'll be delighted to talk with you. Congressman Hill, we go back to the proposed or the position of demanding a two-state solution. I'm looking at it. At the UN two-state solution event, France demands Israel pay $2 billion. Listen to this. Not only is France saying we need a two-state solution, not only is France demanding publicly through the UN that Israel give up land and territory and boundaries for the Palestinians, as they're called, but now France is, I don't know how they come off with this, France is demanding through the UN that the Israelis give $2 billion to the Palestinians. I'll read just a word or two and get your take. Monday's United Nations conference on the subject of two-state solution offers a rare and indispensable opportunity that can and must serve as a decisive turning point, the UN Secretary General said in the opening of the two-day event. The Saudi foreign minister, whose country was one of the two event co-hosts, told attendees that the kingdom's view, that's Saudi Arabia, the kingdom's view, has always been that Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, quote, are the only legitimate representatives of the Palestinian people, end quote. Then it goes on to say France, which has said that they will recognize Palestine as a state in the UN General Assembly in September, co-hosted the conference. So here's my question, Congressman Hill. Where does Macron, the head of Prime Minister of France, where does he come off thinking that he can make that demand, not only of a two-state solution, but that Israel is obligated to give $2 billion to the Islamic jihadists and let them set up a state?
Well, first of all, Macron is irrelevant. He can say whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. That's it's right. Not going to change anything or affect the outcome or the situation of what Israel is doing right now, and that is eventually they are going to occupy Gaza. They are going to get rid of Hamas altogether, and they should. And as you said at the beginning of the show, Dr. Youngblood, if France wants these people so much, then you take them. You spend $2 billion and take them into your country and see how you coexist with them. You'll be sorry.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I look at is if Israel caves in, gives in. By the way, let's go back, tie some loose ends. Right now, Gaza has been controlled by Hamas. Israel has so far taken control of about 75% of Gaza. There's about 25% that Benjamin Netanyahu just yesterday said that they were going to go in with full military force and control the other 25%, because it's within that other 25% that the hostages are being held and the holdup of the Hamas terrorists are held or holed up there and still carrying out terrorism. Here's the point. Gaza was given to the quote Palestinian people. They elected the Islamic jihadists to rule over them, and now with the hundreds of millions of tons of food going in, and yet the people in Gaza are supposedly starving to death on a global basis. Israel is being blamed for the starvation. They're using false phony photographs to be able to promulgate the idea around the globe that we need to feel sorry and pity for the those in Gaza, because supposedly Israel's starving them to death. Now, how should Israel respond to global pressure because of the Palestinians, i.e. the ones in Gaza, that are ruled by Hamas, where Hamas is being able to win the attention of the Marxist media, including America? So how should Israel respond to that? They seemingly are backed into a corner. Regardless of what they say, the global news says that they're the bad people, the bad guys. I'm of the opinion, I'd like to hear your thoughts briefly before we transition into some other thoughts. I'd like to hear your opinion. Should Benjamin Netanyahu back up one inch, or should he take the backbone of steel as he has so far, that we're not going to surrender until all of Hamas is wiped out?
Exactly, Dr. Youngblood. That's right. Benjamin Netanyahu should not give an inch, and instead he should continue. Israel did not start this war. This war was started by Islamic terrorists. They call themselves Hamas, but they're nothing more than terrorists. They started this with an attack on Israel. Israel responded in force, and Israel needs to continue. They said, we're not going to stop this. We didn't start it, but we're not going to stop until Hamas is destroyed and that all of the hostages are released, are returned. There are still hostages there, Dr. Youngblood. A lot of them are dead, but they are still being held. And Benjamin Netanyahu should go in there. Thank goodness, as you said at the beginning of the show, Dr. Youngblood, that President Trump is supporting Israel. He's not supporting these other socialist nations such as France and Canada and Great Britain, even though they have a democratic. They're not a republic. They're not a republic like the United States. They're more a democracy. They still lean towards socialism and communism. And that's why they are backing this. That's why they are fighting against God. And I'm so thankful that President Trump is on Netanyahu's side. He should continue going to Gaza, occupy as much of it as he thinks is necessary, and utterly destroy Hamas. That would be accurate and biblical to do that. That is what God told Israel to do when they first occupied that land. He said, get rid of the people there. They will be a thorn in your flesh.
Right. He said, destroy the enemies of the wind. And by the way, just a little footnote to that from a theological standpoint, Israel did not obey God in destroying all of the enemy. As a result of that, now for thousands of years, Israel, the Jewish people, have faced the opposition from the Islamic jihadists because they did not obey God to begin with. One little footnote, I'm looking at a headline. President Trump, the Trump administration, will not provide disaster relief to the states and or cities that boycott Israeli companies. The Trump administration has said that the states and the cities that receive funding to prepare for natural disasters, if they choose to boycott Israeli goods, they are not. He's using the cudgel that you want some help for natural disasters. You want the FEMA to take care of that. We'll do that. But if you boycott anything that is called Israeli production, as they call it now with the BSD, the boycott, diversity. And sanctions that they have been practicing by some blue cities and blue states. Trump said, okay, you do that, we'll cut off your funds. I'm thankful to see that he's doing that, and I'm prayerful that it will be beneficial. One thought, just transitional thought for a moment. I'm looking at a major article. It says, breaking news. DNI Tulsi Gabbard has revoked the security clearances for Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Liz Cheney, Adam Kitzinger, and that's just the beginning. Goes on the list then. John Brenner, the former CIA director, James Clapper, former DNI, Susan Rice, who unmasked the U.S. citizens' political reasons during the Obama years, Jake Sullivan, Biden's national security advisor, Victoria Nuland, the architect of several regime changes, disaster, and foreign policy failures. Eric Swalwell, that upstanding gentleman, who sat on the House Intelligence Committee that had a romantic affair with a Chinese spy, Peter Strzok. Disgraced FBI agent who vowed to stop Trump from winning the election. Lisa Page, another key player in the partisan takedown attempts, et cetera, et cetera. Fani Hill, who testified during the impeachment while maintaining deep ties with the anti-Trump Trump institutions abroad. Tulsi Gabbard, this article then concludes, Tulsi Gabbard is doing what no one else would ever dare to do, finally shutting the door on the corrupt old guard who treated American intelligence like a private political weapon, end quote. What say you? What say you to that?
I say hip, hip, hooray. That is excellent. And what that means, Dr. Youngblood, when you pull their security clearances, it cuts into them being able to earn money, their income, because what they do is they go work with these lobbyists, these big law firms, and these law firms need access to that top secret or that secret information in order to support their clients. If they no longer have access to that through these various people that Tulsi Gabbard has taken away their clearances, then those law firms, those lobbying groups have no need for them. They don't need to hire them then because they cannot have access to that sensitive information.
I'm looking at, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful to see that. And bless her heart, she's doing a wonderful job, in my view.
Yeah.
Some may disagree.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the law professor and constitutional attorney, Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley from Washington University, George Washington University, said this. Since the allegations emerged involving officials from the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton's campaign, corporate media has largely shifted its focus to other issues. While discussing the legal side of the scandal on Sean Hannity's show, Turley, who should be worried, said that these people should be worried about the potential legal repercussions. And he named several of them, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, et cetera, et cetera. Now, question in the final minute that we have is this. Should they be prosecuted? Should they be treated as treasonous or just something that happened to take place and we just not do anything about it? Very quickly, give your thoughts on that.
No, we have to do something about it, Dr. Youngblood, because if we don't, they will try to do it again and again. They need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And Democrats will repeat it if you don't prosecute them, just like these Democrats who left Texas, the state of Texas, so that there wouldn't be a quorum. They repeated it because when they previously did it, nothing happened to them.
Absolutely.
You have to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law.
That's a requirement for justice. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11.